Blog Talk Radio.
We'll see y'all.
Hello?
We're here.
Oh, okay.
We're here, and this is my reason for moving my network. Come on, buddy.
Right.
Hello, this is music there. Producer and audio engineer John Krause, and I have a mad obsession for making studio recordings. I love mixing, producing, composing, adding guitar tracks, or just sipping coffee while you do most of the work. And I don't usually bite. You can find me online at krausmusic.com. That's KRAUSSMUSIC.com. Or on Facebook at John Krause Music. Hello, this is music producer and audio engineer John Krause, and I have a mad obsession for making studio recordings. I love mixing, producing, composing, adding guitar tracks, or just sipping coffee while you do most of the work. Find me online at krausmusic.com. That's KRAUSSMUSIC.com. Or on Facebook at John Krause Music. And remember, as the late great Billy Shakespeare once said, if music be the food of love, play on.
Live from the clock and read my mind.
Hey, this is Steve Coughlin from Steve Coughlin with Probable Cause. We are loyal listeners and proud sponsors of the Paid Drivers Show. Check it out.
Hi there, this is Tammany Dove inviting you to the 2019 International Singer-Songwriters Association Awards Show to be held in Atlanta, Georgia on Saturday, August the 3rd. This event will be open to the public and features some of the most talented singer-songwriters from all over the world. Join us for this red carpet event and after party. Find out more and reserve your ticket at www.issasongwriters.com. Hope to see you there.
Hey y'all, this is Danny Kinsey, and you're listening to the Paige Roberts Show on Intercom Radio Network.
I'm sure I've told everyone that you may know that I've been sweet on you from the start. I wish you were here now so I could share with you the dreams that are racing in my And I'm bold, like a lion with a heart of gold. Although my roar is just a whisper you can't hear. Trying to find the courage to call and say hello. It's me, I must tell you now, my dear. Why you're so lonesome and so am I. Why don't we get together and end this cry? Will you know how I feel? Well, let me tell you what I'm willing to do. I'd go that extra mile just so I could be alone with you. With a trembling hand, I slowly pick up the phone. I call his sister, answers, and says that you're not home. Quick to the draw, I say, if you don't mind, please have him call me when he gets in tonight. It's half past midnight, and all I've got is wounded pride. Putting all I feel on the line. Gonna turn out the light. The telephone rings. Oh my, it's you. And you, I say, why? You're so lonesome and so am I. Why don't we get together and tell you what I'm willing to do. I'd go that extra mile just so I could be alone with you. I'd go that extra mile just so I could be alone with you. I'd go that extra mile just so I could be alone with you.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Paige Roberts Show. It is Monday, April 8th, 2019. Let me do announcements. June the 9th, we will be at Vegas Studio here in Athens, Georgia, doing a live show with Nashville recording artist Christy Isbell. Christy is recording songs, and her songs are actually getting played over there on the country music charts under the production of Frank Green. Now, he's a gold and platinum producer, too. He goes all the way back to Sun Records. So if you've heard of that, actually, Elvis, I think, was one that came out from Sun Records. There was a lot of them back in the day, and he worked with quite a few musicians out that way, or artists. What do we call ourselves nowadays? We will not be back here after tonight until Friday. We have BMI recording artist Steve Coughlin. We're doing the show then. And then they have another live show on the 13th on Saturday. They're actually one of our sponsors. So we appreciate Steve sharing our information out there. I appreciate everyone who's out there sharing our information, listening to our music, and being a part of our show. We appreciate it. We had a great time when last night, y'all. Let me see. No, Thursday we were talking to Augusta, Georgia, Robbie Ducey. And his friend or his band member is that or used to be in with James Brown. I didn't realize James Brown was making Georgia, but obviously he is. That's something I should know, right? I better get caught up on my music news and such and what have you not, right? Georgia is loaded with awesome singer-songwriters that came out from back in the day and today. So, yeah. But be looking for that for Vegas Studio. You will have had to like the Vegas Studio. It will be live. Their Facebook page. Now, July the 7th, they have singer-songwriter Jody DeMarco, who's out of Hartwell, Georgia, will be coming in the studio with us and doing a live show, too. So we are busy here at the Paige Roberts Show, and what a Monday it has been. But I do want to mention anyone that has requests and things like that. I do have a manager, Ruth Allen Finley, and we have posted the email out there on Facebook, and she does a lot of stuff for me. I got to hand it to her. I said I know I would be totally lost if I didn't have her on my side putting the music out there and putting together the bios and things like that. So yeah, we appreciate everything you do, Ruth. So just know that we do. So without further ado, let me bring on my featured artist tonight. I say singer-songwriter, but Kim Condershaw is a little bit of everything, more entertainer. Let's bring Kim on. Hey, Kim, and welcome to the show. Thank you for calling in tonight.
Well, thanks for having me. I deeply appreciate you playing my music, and I deeply appreciate the fact that you're actually taking the time to talk to me.
Well, you're welcome. We appreciate that, too. You know, it takes all of us pulling together, I guess, to put on a show. If we didn't have y'all, we wouldn't have a show. And
I have to say this much. You know, there's an old saying in show business, no audience, no show. And the fact that people like you giving us indies a voice, well, we have a voice. You know, I mean, if we didn't have that opportunity, our music would stay in our bedrooms. You know what I mean? So it's great that there are people out there that you are that are actually playing independent music. It's a very, very good thing because our music is getting heard.
We appreciate that. And yes, we are considered indie as well. So we are also on that label too. So, you are put in a category, right, Ken? Whether you like it or not.
Well, I take him as I get him, as the old saying goes, you know?
Yep, that's true. I do too. And we're in a good place. I think the indie artists are a lot compassionate about what they do and the music they play and the films, and because we are all in that category, right?
Well, pretty well, yeah, you know. It's, well, you know, I can safely say this. You know, I love what I do. I love to write tunes. I love to get other people to sing my songs. And I love what I do. Because, I mean, a lot of people say, well, how can you do that if you get rejection or this and that? And I said, well, I don't do it for rejection, obviously, but that's part of the course. You know, I mean, like, as an actor, you go up for an audition, you don't get it. It's nothing personal. A lot of times they might go with a guy who's got blonde hair and he's 6 foot and he's got blue eyes. How can you compete with that? It's not, you know, it's part of the game. I tell young artists out there that if somebody doesn't like your music, it may not work for them, so move on, because there'll be other people out there that will like your music. You know, don't get hung up on the fact that, you know, oh, so-and-so doesn't like my music. Well, maybe it doesn't work for him, you know? That's the way I look at it. You know, it's a funny thing is that I know some jazz players that don't like country music, and I know some country players that don't like jazz music. And I go, okay, well, if it doesn't work for you, it doesn't work for you. But I happen to like it all.
And not the end of the world, is it, Kim?
No, it ain't. Not by no means. Not by no stretch of the imagination. Not at all.
But I tell you what, it is a lot of work, and I have seen singer-songwriters come and go because it is a push-and-shove world out there. You got to get with it and go.
Well, you have to do it for... I feel that if you're trying to do it... I mean, I think the wrong reasons are that, oh, I want to be a star and I want everybody to love me and I want to make a gazillion dollars. Well, I mean, okay, I guess that's all fine and dandy, but the chances of that, I mean, the odds, you'd have a better chance of coming back as Elvis Presley. You know, I think that, I mean, the reason I do it is because I love to write music. Mm-hmm. I have a real passion for it, and I will do it until it's time to say goodbye from the face of the earth. And that's why I do it, and that's why I will, you know, rewrite a tune. I don't know how many tunes and how much money I've spent over the years recording, going to a recording studio and getting session players and what have you. But I do it because I love it. And
same way
if
with
you
me.
Don't,
right.
If you don't love it, then don't do it. I'm sure there's other things. I'm saying, you know. I mean, I'm a senior citizen now, and I've been writing music for a long time. I've studied with some of the best, and some of their criticisms, I remember back in the day, they weren't, you know, I had to lick my wounds, and I thought, they said, well, look, if you want to write, you've got to learn how to write, and you have to listen to somebody who knows what they're talking about, and don't be so sensitive. You know, it's a learning process. And the old saying goes, I think the more that you write, the better you're going to get as a songwriter. Just you have to write and write and write and write. You know,
right.
I mean, that's the way I look at it.
And with anything, like playing an instrument as well.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I found that the more hours I could squeeze in a day practicing guitar, the better I got. Simple as that. It's just a matter of hours. I mean, there was Chet Atkins, the famous Chet Atkins, he brought down a guitar player, a guy called Lenny Bro, and a lot of jazz guitarists would know who he is. As far as he was concerned, he thought Lenny was the greatest guitar player in the world. Now, my instructor, who was my mentor, took lessons off Lenny many, many years ago in Winnipeg, Canada, and he said that Lenny would play 15 hours a day. How can you not get good? You know what I mean? You win by default. I mean, 15 hours a day, that's a lot of playing.
Wow.
You know? I mean, I don't know where the guy found
it. He had to love it.
Well, he did love it, and he was
the same way on the piano. I sit down and I play. If you love playing, and I loved playing the piano, I would sit down any time and play.
Yeah, and
just
put
play.
In a lot. Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. So like, I can't read music. I know a little bit of theory, like scales and chord structures and that. Did you, when you studied the piano, did you do the, what do they call it, conservatory thing?
Well, I did most, but a lot of mine I played by ear, and my music teacher she didn't really get mad at me, but she would get agitated because I would go to the way or my way of playing.
Well, you know what? One of my favorite piano players, rock and rollers, is Little Richard, and I believe who's from Macon, Georgia. I saw the guy 3 times, and I'm telling you, nobody could put a show on like he did, man. I mean, that guy rocked, and it was when he called himself the architect of rock and roll, I believe him. I witnessed it. He was amazing. Just amazing, and just nonstop. Just nonstop.
Mm-hmm.
Just,
and who's,
you know,
the other? Now, they're the country. Jerry Lee Lewis. Wow.
Oh, yeah. Well, you were talking about the Sun Sessions, like Lewis, Johnny Cash, Roy Orbison. Well, there's other guys that all came out of Sun Studios way back in the day there.
Oh, yeah.
That's what they call the birthplace of rock and roll or birthplace of rockabilly, you know?
Yeah.
It was right there.
Well,
and,
Frank Green is the best producer out of Nashville. I will give him that.
Right.
He's been around a minute. And he's had...
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
He was... Well, I don't know if he was... I'll have to read it again. He was chief or next to the chief of all of that. So I'm like, wow. that's about as close as you can get.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's getting as close as to, you know, the real McCoy, as they say, you know.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Did you know that Sam Phillips, before he died, got a letter from Bob Dylan? Bob Dylan asked Sam to record him, and Sam passed on it. But Dylan, I mean, obviously, you know, he listened to all the early rockers there, and he wanted Sam to record Bob Dylan the way he recorded all those 50s guys way back in the 50s. And that's, you know, I guess the way they recorded back then. And I read in a biography, and what was it, an interview or biography? I can't remember. But he mentioned that Bob Dylan had written him a letter asking him to record him, and he had, for whatever reason, passed on it.
Wow.
But, I mean, that's how good the guy, you know, him.
I love
those, some of those old recordings, man, you can't beat them.
Nope.
No overdubbing.
And I wonder why he turned it down.
I think he just said he was done, he was tired. I mean, you know, I guess he probably... I don't know. I would speculate maybe he was in his 70s by that time, and I think he'd...
Oh, well, maybe he's...
He had sold the studio. I know that he sold Elvis' contract in 1956 to RCA because I think he got $30,000, and I guess back then that was a lot of money.
Yeah,
because he
sure
said he couldn't take Elvis. He could take Elvis only so far, and he figured that he's got an opportunity to go with RCA, and if Sam can make some money, you know, kill two birds with one stone, as they say. You know?
Wow.
But I love those old recordings. I just love them.
I do too. And I like watching and hearing about them and making it in the music industry. But you look back at all the things that they had to do to get out there and bust their butt to get out there.
It was a grind. There was no internet. It was like you had to, the radio, and then you had to go from town to town to town and, you know, in a little 54 Chevy with the bass, big, what they call it, the big bull fiddle strapped up on the roof of the car.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And there was, you know, you didn't have a bus. I mean, a lot of those guys didn't. I remember, I think, Scotty Moore, who was, he kind of looked after Elvis, was also the driver in the 54 Chev, where those guys were touring all over the South. Or wherever they were, you know, locally, I guess.
Yeah, and how many times has somebody turned them around and tell them, we don't think so?
I don't know. I thought I'd read somewhere when Elvis performed on, what was it, Grand Ole Opry? He didn't get a very warm reception. Like, they weren't rude. He didn't get the reaction that he was normally getting, you know, from a lot of girls screaming and stuff. They were polite, but they were reserved. They clapped politely.
That's a good word.
That was it.
Yeah. Reserved. That's a good word.
They were very kind of like, okay, yeah. Maybe he was just maybe a little too out there for those guys because, you know, I saw some of it. I remember they used to call him Elvis the Pelvis and all that way back then? My older sister saw him on the Tommy and Dorsey show, and the next time they saw him was on the Ed Sullivan show, and they only showed him from the waist up. They wouldn't show him. This was the 1950s, you know, so I guess mores back then were a little more uptight, you know.
Well, yeah, and that's another good word for it, too. They didn't want to show all that on TV.
Oh, no. Well, I mean, every rock and roll was considered the devil's music, you know.
I know it. Wow. That's
I don't
cool.
know. It's, you know, I guess. Well, I remember who was it? DJ Fontana, Elvis's drummer. He said, "What we did back in the 1950s is nothing compared to what they're doing now, or what they had been doing, you know, or you know, heavy metal and I remember Alice Cooper with his theatrics with guillotines
yes.
and all this other stuff.
Yeah. I wonder what they think of the now in the digital world.
What's that? I'm sorry?
I wonder what they think about now in the digital world of today. That would be interesting.
Yeah. Well, I heard that, what's his name? What's that? Alice Cooper, just mentioned his name. I think his father was a minister and he was a Christian. And then and of course, I guess he went astray because I believe he really had a bad drinking and drug problem, but he finally cleaned up and went back to the church. You know?
Wow.
There's
a lot of, you don't see very many people performing now.
No, well, you know what? The thing is that a lot of them are getting on. I mean, look at Johnny Winter's passed away just a year or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
And that 60s lifestyle, I guess it finally caught up to him. Because I remember it was, remember sex, drugs, rock and roll? And a lot of guys, a lot of them died. Jimmy, Janice,
A lot of
Hendrix,
them.
Jim Morrison, yep. Oh, there were many, many, and many of them passed away due to, excess.
Right.
Well, I got friends of mine that, that I lost four friends last year just for the simple fact of a lifestyle, of a whole lifetime lifestyle finally caught up to them. I guess you can do that when you're in your early 20s, but when you get to the age of 50s, 60s, and you're still doing that, it's gonna.
And it will catch up to you.
What's that?
It will catch up to you.
Oh yeah. Well, hey, listen. 2:15, I had a heart attack. I nearly died. I was lucky. It was with my girlfriend. She called an ambulance, and I followed it. I had a quintuple bypass. And sad thing about it is that as a matter of fact, my girlfriend and I just finished sitting in with a band. I felt it coming on. I thought it was a bad cold, and I realized I was in trouble. Anyways, I was lucky I got to the hospital, and they took care of me. But I had a friend of mine, bass player I'd known ever since grade 5. He died the following day of a heart attack. He didn't make it. So I was very, very, very lucky. So I don't smoke anymore. I haven't had a cigarette in 5 years, and I don't ever tend to go back.
I need to take heed, right?
I'm sorry?
I need to take heed, right?
Yeah. Well, you know what? Everybody's going to quit at their own time, and I just, one night, I think it was 2.5 packs and a bottle of vodka, and I was hungover, and I couldn't breathe, and I went, I'm done with cigarettes. After I started smoking in 1968. I was 13, grade 8, I think. Well, when you were born, I always started smoking. So
I'm 50.
I smoked for a long time. Oh, you're young. 68, good year. 68
is
an excellent year.
Yeah, a lot of things happening then. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
My thing is, I do want to quit, but it's a mind thing.
It's hard.
I guess.
No, I know it's extremely hard. Well, Well, I can say to you is that you will quit when you want to quit in your own time. I think you have to finally just get fed up to the point. See, I smoked 2.5 packs. Had I not done that, I was under a lot of stress. I helped my girlfriend move, and it was a real stressful day of moving. And, of course, you got to get in there, and you want to make sure this is right and that's right, blah, 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 blah. And I smoked way too much, and that's when I hit rock bottom with the cigarettes because the next day I couldn't breathe. I felt like somebody had gone up and down my throat with a roller of tar and nicotine. And I just said, that's it. I quit. So I think that I'm just speaking for myself. Maybe what it is, you have to, something, an excess or whatever forces you to quit or in your mind you want to quit, you have to. Because I was running 8 miles a day and still smoking cigarettes until my knees went, you know. So, I mean, I was still smoking. So I thought, well, I can do both. But my doctor said, you're not fooling anybody, because the thing is, all that tar and nicotine, it goes into your arteries and it stays there. Like, the body doesn't expel it. It stays there.
I hear it from mine every time I go in there. You quit smoking?
Well, you know what the thing is that I don't know how much you smoke, but if you can cut back, or maybe, you know, just try to cut back. You know, I mean, at least the good thing about it is my mentor, he's 75 now, and he can't smoke in the house. So that's cut his smoking down quite a bit, because his wife doesn't smoke.
What I do, Kim, is see, I'm here in front of the computer, and so it's very convenient.
Oh, sure. I bet you it's really convenient. And you know what I always miss? What I miss is the coffee with the cigarette.
Oh, well.
You know, you got the nicotine,
I'm
and then you got the caffeine. You got the double hit with the nicotine and the caffeine, and it's, oh, yeah. All right, that feels good.
Right. Wow. I'm going to try to... I have got to do something about myself. I need to get out, and I need to start walking, too. And
I got to tell you something. If you can start doing... There's an old thing. I used to box when I was younger, and I remember the coach telling me of people that were, like, just starting to train. There was the stagger system, for example. You start eliminating by process. You walk one telephone pole, maybe run the other one, walk one. So eventually what you want to start doing is eliminating the walking. But first you just walk. And then maybe 2 weeks, walk one, run one. And then by the end you try to eliminate the walk. But you start real slow. The emphasis is starting from scratch and start real slow. Because too many times people, what they do is when they, you know, oh, I'm going to get into shape, they go right out, they do something, they hurt themselves, and they don't go back. You've got to start slow.
Yeah, I'm not like that either.
Not used to
I'll start out 5 minutes. 5 minutes is all I'll do starting off.
That's all you need to do. And then, but see, the whole thing is you document it, and then maybe the next time around you add 6 minutes, time it. Just slowly increase, slowly increase. You know, that'll say.
I'll get three. Yep, I'll go 3 or 4 days of walking the 5, and then I'll up it to maybe 7 or 10.
There you go. It's perfect. I mean, it's slowly increasing.
Yeah, I was walking 2 hours a day, but then I get bored.
Well, you don't got to. This is what you got to do, and also it's actually kind of dangerous. Get yourself a Walkman or your little headphones and get some good music. But back in the days when I remember when they still had Walkmans, I was so into this Brian Setzer song of the Stray Cats, I almost got hit by a car because I completely forgot where I was. I was so into the tune, and next thing you know, I hear this screech and some guy calling me every name under the book, if you can imagine. But I was so into this song, I forgot my surroundings, so... maybe have one phone in and one phone out. I don't know.
Well, I have a track. We have a track right down below the house.
Oh,
so.
Well, then you're fine. Then you're fine.
So
perfect.
I'll go there. Yep. It's a big track, too. I don't know what the mile is, but it's
well,
pretty
you're
big.
Safe.
Probably take me
you
5 minutes
like...
to walk around it.
Well, you know what? Hey, but at least the good thing about it is you know that no car is going to come flying at you.
You never know, Kim.
Well, that's true. I mean, this was a few years ago. I made a left on 126 up by my place in Surrey, and there was a young girl coming right at me in my lane, and she was on a cell phone. So I laid on the horn. I went up onto the sidewalk. She didn't even look at me. She kept on talking, and she went through a red light. I went, she was so busy. I knew she was into some kind of confrontation with somebody, whoever she was talking with, because you could tell the way she was very animated. You know, you could tell by her body language. She didn't know. She didn't see me. She didn't see the red light. She just kept going.
Wow.
I don't know what it's like in Georgia, but up here in BC, Canada, if you're caught driving and using a cell phone, the fine is.
You're in big trouble.
You are in big trouble. You know, mm-hmm. if you got a fat bank account, if you like paying fines, but also up here you get points too.
Well, they
and
just
if you
said
get so many points,
standard,
you get.
Probably... Yeah. Wow.
Well, up here in Canada,
they
have a point system.
They do, and they had noticed that these kids are still out here driving with their phones, so they just don't think anything is going to happen to them. But they have gotten really strict, and they're even talking on our news stations that they're fixing to really buckle down. No way in hell.
Too many people have been killed because the thing is, they're not thinking about driving. I saw one time some guy eating his breakfast, drinking a coffee, smoking a cigarette, and talking on his cell phone all at once. I'm going, multitasking? No, up here in Canada, it's not only fines, you get points. And if it's anything past 9 points, then you lose your license. And then there's a big fine on top of that. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, the trouble is, what's really, really bad right now, the entertainment, like the bars and clubs, they're it's real tough right now because the thing is, it's almost zero tolerance. If you have a beer, you're over. You know, if they pull you over. Oh, yeah, no, it's in some respect, it's to the point where now it's zero tolerance. And I guess the thing is, I guess it all depends on how you look at it, but I know for a fact that a lot of bars, they're closing up. They're becoming beer and wine stores because people aren't coming. They're staying home.
Wow.
I guess they don't want to pay money. They don't want to pay money for a cab. I mean, where
think
I live.
Wow. Think about that, Athens, Georgia. And Athens, Georgia is on the top 5 lists for the party in town for college.
Oh, is that right? Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Could be the top 3.
Yeah. Well, the tough thing about it is, I mean, for musicians now, I used to be a full-time, you know, full-timer myself. Those days are gone because there's nowhere, at least in British Columbia, Canada, you can play 6 nights anymore. You're lucky if you can get 2 nights now. And a lot of these places, they want you to play for the door. And I won't do that. I will not. I'm not going to do that. Some of the places, they want you to pay for the door, and then they also want part of the door.
Yep.
No.
Is
and
that
it's
way
basically,
here,
I guess.
Top pay is $354.
$400. Really?
Yep.
Well.
And then you got to do that with all your band members?
Well, I guess the thing is that if musicians, well, a lot of musicians up here, I know that had, I don't want to say maybe specifically only in BC, but musicians have undercut themselves because somebody says, well, we'll do it for this price. Oh, we'll do it for that price. And then bar owners will go, well, you know, those guys said they would do it for X amount of dollars, you know.
And then you got those who just want to play. I want to play. It don't matter.
Well, if you know the way I look at it, if I go to a jam, that's fine. I get a free beer, I play a few tunes, I go home. I don't have to deal with the manager. I don't have to deal with the rest of the band. Because I found that when I was playing full time and being band leader, and you're the one who's getting the bookings, a lot was riding on you. You know.
Yeah. But I don't
know
anywhere in the world that's going to pay you over $500. Per,
well,
gig.
You know what? We're lucky. You know what the standard rate? I don't want to say, well, the circles. When I was playing circles, the most they'd pay you was $100 a night per man. That was it. They wouldn't pay you. And those are 1970s prices. And now a lot of the places up here in BC that used to, in Vancouver, Surrey, that used to pay, they don't pay anymore. It's the door. So if you get one person that shows up and pays $10 to get in, you split $10 between 4 guys. you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's about
that's
the way
why
it is here. I think that's the way it is with the $400.
Well, you know what? The thing is that I know for that's if you're lucky. I mean, I find out here up here in Canada, that's if you're lucky to get a weekend gig. I had one club, one owner said, I really like you guys, but you know what I hate? I said, well, what do you hate? Well, I got to pay you guys $100 a man. And I said, you pay an electrician or a plumber. Well, that's different. That's a skill. And I said, you're trying to tell me why I spent over 40 years learning how to play my guitar, and God knows how much money I spent on amplifiers and equipment. He says, well, you're having fun. He let us go, and a friend of mine walked in there and saw some guy with all these backing tracks. It was like karaoke with guitars. And he came up to the guy and said, hey, man, you're not too bad. He says, well, do you mind me asking what you're getting for the night? He says, oh, I'm doing this for a beer and a sandwich. Well, how do you compete with that? You can't. You know?
Mm-hmm.
No, it's tough, man. It's tough. I guess it's – I sort of look at it, particularly here in B.C., you know, it's like 5,000 musicians all chasing the same nickel. It's tough.
Well, some don't even pay you for the meal or give you the meal.
I think things have to change. They really do. I mean, it's a skill. I mean, I don't think
you spent hours
learning how to play your instrument. You didn't just suddenly wake up one morning and have a coffee and started playing. I mean, I'm sure you spent a lot of hours practicing.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's a skill. It's a skill. It may not be maybe you're not being an electrician. You're being a musician. You're a piano player or somebody's a guitar player, somebody who's worth their salt. They put a lot of years and time into it.
Tell him to sit down and learn the chords and learn how to play music. Then he'll find out real quick.
Well, I remember one time we had a jam. It was some band I was playing with, and it was, I can't remember, it was in Vancouver. It was in northern B.C. Anyways, this bar manager, he said, anybody can do this. Anybody can do this. So I said, well, what do you want to do? Yeah, you know any Johnny Horton? I said, sure. Well, I want to do North to Alaska. No problem. Well, he got up there, and guess what happened? He froze.
Yeah.
He was catching flies. His eyes were saucer wide, his slack jawed, and we're going, you're going to start singing?
But
he literally ran.
Mr. Anybody Can Do This, go right ahead.
Well, yeah. and he literally ran off the stage. So I said, let's hear it from Mike, the manager.
Good.
He didn't appreciate that
stage
too much. But he said, anybody can do this. I said, yeah, okay,
right.
Sure.
You're smart, Mr. Wise Guy. Get up there and do it then.
He got up there, and all we got was heavy breathing. That was and nothing. And he froze. I mean, literally, he was white knuckling. I thought he was going to break the microphone.
Did you happen to record that?
No. This was a few years ago. This was, oh man, almost 30 years ago. But
wow, that would have been awesome to have that.
Well,
I would have
loved it because he had an attitude like anybody can do this, and I said, okay, Mr. Anybody, come on up.
Mr. Marty.
Yeah, anybody can do this. We're gonna do. We'll eventually getting around to do North to Alaska by Johnny Horton when Mike the manager starts singing. He never did sing. He just ran off the stage.
Funny. Well, we just played one of your songs, Kim. Do we want to play another one of your songs?
Yes, and I just want to say that tune was the person who did the vocals on that was Loretta Lee, and she was the one who did the singing on it. She lives in Hope, B.C., which is basically northeast of Vancouver, and I'm 20 miles south of Vancouver myself. I'm in Surrey, which is basically 10 miles from the American border. I thought I'd let you know. I don't know if you needed to know that or not.
That's good. Yes. We talk about all that on this show. What do we want to play next, Kim? Red Shoes?
Well, I'll tell you. I got a silly song there called Let the Madness Begin. And it's kind of, I don't know, I wouldn't say I'm trying to be Roger Miller, but it's kind of like that. It's nonsensical. It's a fun tune.
I don't even, you know what, I don't even see it on my queue. Let me see if I can find it.
Oh, that's okay.
I can't believe I don't have that, because that's one of your new songs.
I don't know. Actually, that's been around for a while. Do you have Bathtub Boogie?
Let's see. I sure don't. Let me tell you what I have. I have, and y'all, I'm moving off of Blog Talk Radio. I'm almost there. But let's see, I have The Red Shoes. I have So I Can Be Alone With You. That's the one I played, wasn't it?
Red Shoes, Red Shoes actually was written, the lyrics were written by a gal I went to theater school with, and she used to be an exotic dancer, and it's her experience of being on stage in front of a very large crowd of drunken men, as she used to be an exotic dancer, and my girlfriend's singing the song. I wrote the music. My friend Ingemara Frank, who was an exotic dancer, wrote the lyrics, and my girlfriend Sandra Cappaduca is featured on lead vocals, and it's very R&B. I don't know if that's cool with you.
That's cool with me. Well, let's play this and hold on the line, and we'll come right back.
Sounds good.
Awesome. All right, here we go.
And next up, we've got Nina. Let's give it up for Nina.
You are listening to the Paige Roberts Show on Intercom Radio Network. We are broadcasting live off of Blog Talk Radio. Our call-in number is 646-668-8941. Let's give a shout-out. Phil Kranz, he's WAAK 947 FM, host of the Black Dog Morning Show. He's out there on Facebook. And you can find him online too. I think he's WAAK947.com out there on his website. But he's on Facebook if you look up the Black Dog Morning Show. He's changed over to indie as well. He was indie before, but he's now got it in his name as Indie Radio, how do you have it? Black Dog Morning Show Indie or something like that. But anyway, let's see. I guess we'll give a shout-out to Pat Callahan. We appreciate everybody out there who's sharing. I said it at the beginning, but it means a lot when I see y'all out there sharing our shows. I'm telling you, it's a lot of hard work if I didn't have y'all out there sharing. It has taken me a long time to get here, too. I've been at it since 19, not that far back, y'all. 15, maybe? Yeah. I've been in it for about 6 years, but it's all good. It's taken me this long to build my circle out there, and I hadn't been at it every day, and I'm still at it, so it's always something to do. But we have our label as well, and we just have brought on country music artist Ricky Combs. So y'all check him out there on Facebook. He's getting a CD out now too. So we're moving right along. Tonight I've been talking to Canadian performer Kim Condrichal. Now, Kim, you've been in TV too.
A lot of TV, a lot of film, but I've been around for a long time. So I was just very lucky that when the film industry actually took off in Vancouver, I guess it was 83 or 84, I just happened to leave theater school. So I was very fortunate that the competition, you know, wasn't as intense as it is now. And I was much younger at the time. I played a lot of bad guys. They typecast you. If you play a bad guy, they go, oh, well, let's keep on bringing them up for bad guys. And it's good to build up a resume and you get your career started, but then you go and you want to try other things. And I'm just fortunate now that I'm much, much older. I can't play those young, tough guys anymore, you know. So I get to play, you know, more. Well, I did something on a thing called The Traveler. I had shoulder-length hair and a full beard. I played some homeless guy. But there's not many roles for guys with shoulder-length hair and beard. So I just recently got it all cut off, and I'm going back to more sort of a, you might say, a conservative look. My agent said there's more roles for, because you don't have too many. There's not that many roles out there for old bikers or old hippies or old mountain men, that kind of thing. You know, there's more roles for middle-aged dads, you know. So
right.
That's why I got the haircut, shave.
You might have a point there.
Well, there is, yeah, you know, I just thought I'd try because the movie industry, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, if you can act, well, that's good. But it's primarily what you look like. It's, you know, it's they, you know, they think you look like the character. That's a very good plus. And how you're going to play off the star, you know, that kind of thing. If you're
right,
you know, not too.
Atlanta is pretty big on it.
Yeah.
Film and movie. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I had a friend of mine from theater school. You know, depending on looks, it actually didn't work for him because he was extremely handsome and he couldn't get cast because he was too much competition for the lead. Like, you don't want to, they don't want you to steal the lead's thunder, you know? So, you know,
that's
as a matter of fact, I knew there's a lot of people in the business I remember there was a cop who built up quite a resume, but he played policeman. You know, he's an actual cop that was actually getting cast in movies.
Cool.
But it's a tough business, and I don't recommend it to anybody. I tell people if you're an adult, and if you can accept rejection, by all means do it. Because you could.
And that's even more so than being a musician, right?
Oh, well, yeah. Well, at least, at least with music, if you can play, you know, if it's obvious you can play your instrument well enough and sing well enough, they're not going to say no. But, I mean, I guess what I'm trying to say is that I've gone to auditions where I know all the actors, and every one of them, they're all top-notch. But we all look different, or there's a difference in appearance, you know?
Mm-hmm.
This last thing I did, I played this homeless person, and with my shoulder-length hair and beard and stuff. I went throughout some other homeless role parts, and one of the feedback was the fact that he said, well, he did an excellent read, but he looks too healthy. So the person they cast was quite skinny, like emaciated looking. That's in their minds. That's what, I guess, what, you know, homeless people are. They're emaciated. They're not.
Wow.
They're not sort of muscular. I don't know. It's a crazy business. And as I said, I tell people, friends of mine, they got kids. I said I would never have my children do it because it's too rough a business. You know, one day you're on top of the world, you're the best thing since cheesecake, but then if you're not working, then you're not very good, you know, because it's all about...
Right.
Well, it's with agents. Yeah, it's all about money.
Yep.
You know.
And making a resume.
Yeah, well, you know, the thing is, see, I've worked with some of the biggest stars in the world, but it doesn't mean anything. You know, so you work with that guy, yeah, and so, okay, so you did that movie, you did this movie. You're as good as your last gig. You know, and the tough thing, I mean, it's always been a tough business for women, but it's tough. Not for men, it's not as tough, but it's tough. I mean, I'm 63 years old, and I have to say I had quite a good career from the age of about 27 to about 50, and once I hit the age of 50, it's almost like it fell off
right.
the cliff.
Well, the guy that
And there's
we
a lot of ageism that goes on there.
Well, the other night when we talked to Robbie Ducey, and you know, we were talking about James Brown and all that.
Mm-hmm.
This guy was Doug Vickers is actually or was. Let's see where he said it. He was the technical director.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, wow. You know, I had no idea. But see, Kim, that's me. If you walk up to me and you're some big movie star, you're some big musician, I'm the same everywhere I go.
Well, you know what? I have found that out of my experience of this, well, I did my first professional job of, it was summer of 1983, so it just goes to show how long I've been around. Most of the people that I work with, the stars, the big stars, most
mm-hmm.
of them were really, really nice. They were really nice people, very humble,
very, humble.
Very nice.
Yep.
And the bad ones were far and few between. I was just very lucky, you know.
Now you get the arrogant. You get the arrogance every now and again, right?
Oh, I it shall remain nameless. But I had a few I had to deal with, you know. You know,
wow.
Nothing was ever right. They were right, I was wrong, or everybody else was wrong, and they were right. But most of the time, I remember the first time I was ever on a movie set was with Tom Selleck from Magnum P.I.
Awesome.
And I remember I was walking along, I was a cop, and it was in a cul-de-sac in Delta, Surrey. And I'm walking
mm-hmm.
along, and I see him, and he catches my glance, and I guess I was like, you know, oh, it's Tom Selleck. And my jaw was like, I was slack-jawed, and I was stunned. I was hit by a car, and he walked by and patted me on the head and said, yep, it's me, and kept on walking. Really nice guy. He learned my name. Oh, really nice. The crew loved him. You know, but my, as I said, most of my experiences have been with the stars that I've worked with have been positive. They've been really, really nice people. And occasionally you get a, you know, a bad apple, but that's far, for my experience was far and few between. Hello? Hello?
Well, I admit, y'all, I just dropped off the face of the earth somehow, my phone. But I see my guest for tonight dropped off too. Kim Condershoff. It sure was awesome talking to him. But let's see if he'll call back in. I'm gonna send him a message. But anyway, he's been around a minute. I don't know if I can get him back on, but we'll see. But anyway, we have quite a few stuff coming up. Like I said, we won't be back here until, when did I say? Friday, Steve Kaufman with Probable Cause. So y'all be sure and tune into that. That'll be a good show. Steve has a lot going on as well, so yeah, we're always appreciative of the help that Steve does for us. But I guess Kim decided that I was off, so he went off too. So anyway, he's from Canada. And he's a performer. He does music, too. But we were having a good time talking. So he knew a lot of singer-songwriters from Georgia. We were talking about James Brown and a lot of the singer-songwriters that came out from Macon, Georgia. I didn't know, y'all, should I say that? I didn't know James Brown was from Macon. I thought somebody said Louisiana. Was that you, Ruth? We thought it was Louisiana that James Brown was out from, but no, he's Georgia. So, yeah, pretty cool. Well, I guess what I can do, let's see what I have left. I had a couple more of his songs out here, too. He has done, let's see what I have. Yeah, he's been in movies like Cold Squad, X-Files, MacGyver, all kind of stuff like that for film and TV. So, and we were talking about just a few minutes ago that he had run into Tom Selleck. He's in Vancouver, up in Canada. So, yeah. Pretty cool, Kim. Well, I hate it that you dropped off, too. But that's the way it goes, y'all. That's the first time I've dropped off like that in a long time. But, yeah. Anyway, like I said, we are booking up Easter week. Easter week, we're kind of slack. In fact, that is a lot of slack off during the week of Easter. I don't have anything the 15th, 16th, 17th. No, I do have Hunter Flanagan is the 18th, so I guess we'll be back then. Well, besides Steve Kaufman. So, yeah, unless anybody wants to call in and sit here and talk Paige for the next 20 minutes. I'm ready to get off, so. But maybe we'll have Kim Condershoff back on again. Let's go out playing his songs because he still didn't really. We had a good time talking. We were just talking about this and that and music and film and things like that. So that was good. let's see what I had. I had what we had is now gone, and I had River Queen, Kim Connorshaw. See, I'll be sure and look him up out there. He's been in over this way too, I think, in Georgia. So check him out. And we will see y'all Friday. Steve Coughlin with Probable Cause. And like I said before, y'all, if you want to do anything with the Paige Roberts Show, Riff Allen Finley always gets the music and the bios and things like that. So y'all please book work with her. She sends your emails out and she gets your information and she gives you the phone numbers and how things work and calling in and things like that. And we do appreciate it. So, yeah. But anyway, I guess that's it, y'all. So let's go out with, let's see, what did I have? Oh, and I'm working on moving my network. I'm almost there. So maybe the next few days I'll get it to where I can. We will be back here Friday on this network, Steve Coughlin. So, yeah, y'all be sure and tune into that. So let's play, let's see. Let's do River Queen, and I think I have one more. So we shall see y'all later. Bye, y'all. Thank you for tuning in.
Hey, y'all, this is Danny Kinsey, and you're listening to the Paige Roberts Show on Intercom Radio Network.